May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
In today's gospel lesson, Jesus prayed, I am not praying, I pray not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me because of them and their witness about me. The goal is for all of them to become one heart and mind, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so that they might be one heart and mind with us. Then the world might believe that you, in fact, sent me. The same glory you gave me, I gave them, so they'll be as unified and together as we are. I in them, and you in me. Then they'll be matured in this oneness and give the godless world evidence that you have sent me and love them in the same way I loved you. The message, that's the message the Bible was a little different translation from what ours read. Americans are proud of their freedom of religion, and the work of J. Gordon Melton shows that they have a whole lot of religions to choose from. He has spent most of his life finding and recording denominations. To date, he has found over 2,600 in the United States and Canada. This is from his work. The Roman Catholic Church may be huge, but is only one of among 116 Catholic denominations. Orthodox Christians have an even higher total, and Protestantism is notoriously splintered. Its Pentecostal segment alone counts groups by the hundreds. There is a denomination for practically everyone. If the Episcopal Church won't do, worshippers can move leftward into the metaphysical Episcopal Church, or free Episcopal Church, or rightward into dozens of breakaways like the Anglican Mission in America. Does Unitarianism seem too conventional? The denomination offers a subgroup of Unitarian Universalist pagans. Moving further from the mainstream, there's always, and you'll love this one, the Church of God Anonymous, the Nudist Christian Church of the Blessed Virgin Jesus, or the Church of the Mystery of Universal Wisdom. And they believe they can communicate with aliens and seek guidance from flying saucers. I love that. All are among the 2,630 U.S. and Canadian faith groups described in the new edition of the indispensable Encyclopedia of American Religion. Melton, a one-time Methodist, United Methodist pastor, treats each entry with nonpartisan objectivity and, when necessary, a straight face. Now, contrast that reality to these statements in our scriptures. Philippians 1:27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. Ephesians 4:3-6. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. 1 Corinthians 1:10. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. And of course, in today's gospel lesson, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also believe in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Now, I find these scriptures intriguing. They all basically say the same thing. The church should be one. This should be our objective. This should be our passion. For there must be unity for God to be able to work and for the church to become all that God wants it to be. The Bible talks more about unity than it does heaven and hell. It is up to every member to help protect the church's unity. Churches are made up of people, and believe it or not, there are no perfect people. He said, my prayer is that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me. The purpose of our unity is that the world may believe that the message of Christ is real. If we can only love people that we agree with, then we know little of the love of Jesus. He loves all kinds of strange, unlovely, and sinful people. If we can only love people that are like us, then we know little of Calvary's love. If we cannot love imperfect people, then we know nothing of the unconditional love of Jesus. If we can't love people who are different from us, and then we only love ourselves. If we can only love people who think like us, believe like us, and look like us, then we are not being true disciples of Jesus. His prayer was and is that we would be one in unity and love. God's family must be a place where we can be authentic and real. It is a place where we forgive each other and care for those who may be different than us. It should be a place where we are committed to each other in love and where we find deep and lasting friendships. The family of God should be a place of freedom, not judgment and condemnation. If you read the Gospels, you see that Jesus was more condemning of hypocrisy of the religious folks than he was of the bad behavior of sinners. One of the judgments made against Jesus was that he was soft on sin. In verse 20, Jesus prays, I do not pray for these only, but for those who believe in me through their word. And what does Jesus ask for us? And what does he feel we need from God if we are to be faithful Christians? He asks that they may be one. Century after century, Jesus singles out as the greatest requirements of his church. First, that we should live near with and in our God. That is first and foremost. Second, out of that there needs to flow a desire in us to draw nearer to one another, to live in unity with other people. It is because we live too far from God that we are alienated or separated from each person. Person from person, church from church. For just as we are not capable of loving God without at the same time loving our neighbors, we are likewise not capable of loving our neighbors without also loving God, and loving God first. The love of God claims first priority, for it is only God's love through faith in Christ that gives us the power to love and live in the unity of love. Only if we live in unity of love can we be witnesses to the world. Faced by a lack of unity among Christians, the world cannot see the true value of the Christian faith. It is our calling and purpose as Christians to demonstrate that unity of love with our fellow human beings, which is the answer to Christ's prayer. Such Christian love and unity shall accomplish much more together than alone as an individual, congregation, or a denomination. Jesus' prayer teaches us that our unity has to be based on truth, that our unity be Christ-centered and Bible-based. Trying to have unity without holding to the truth produces people who will stand for nothing and fall for anything. This prayer from Jesus about unity has to be read in its full context. In verse 17, Jesus prays, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. Unity is oneness, not sameness. Hopefully, we do all know this from our experiences in relationships, either in marriage, in dating, in our families, growing up, or other relationships. Unity, especially the perfect oneness Jesus is surely praying about, is coming together, overcoming our differences, finding common ground and common goals in the name of Jesus Christ, and working together to achieve those goals. And perfect oneness in Jesus recognizes the difference, respects the differences, and still comes together for a common purpose. Ruth Graham Bell, Billy Graham's wife, once said, "If two people agree on everything, one of them is unnecessary." She went on to say, "If two people agree on everything, they double their chances of being wrong." Now, Ruth Graham Bell was not referring to the diversity of thought in the Christian church. She was instead talking about marriage. It is only when we are united together in Christ, see our reason for being together in God, that the life of God truly spills out of our community and into the lives of others. And Jesus' desire is that we grow up into this unity by focusing on God's presence with us. In our words, thoughts, and actions, may Christ grant the grace to each one of us as Christians to live to fulfill the words that Jesus prayed for us. "The glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know you have sent me and have loved them easily, even as you have loved me." Amen. Amen.